This is the Straight Truth Podcast, biblical answers to difficult questions from a Christian worldview.
Well, Pastor, in the last episode, we broached the topic of continuationism versus cessationism. You gave your explanation for what those two terms really mean and why cessationism is the New Testament doctrine. And really the trajectory of Scripture you were explaining, and that was very helpful. I wonder if we could continue to expound on that topic. I think this is a good topic for people to think through. And maybe you could just begin by talking about what it is that really motivates continuationism to begin with.
Yeah, I think to be fair to those who hold that position, they would argue Scripture, which I disagree with their reading of Scripture on the topic, or I would hold their position. But they would argue that, you know, there's no verse of Scripture or text of Scripture that completely rules out the operation of these gifts. But I think there are other motivations at work as well. And I think two come to my mind, Josh, immediately when I think about why do people want to believe that all of these gifts are still in operation? One is a desire not to miss out on anything that God would have for us. Mm-hmm. So the desire to make sure that what I have is everything that is a New Testament Christianity, mm-hmm. right? I don't want to miss out on anything. And so the feeling that somehow there's something I don't know from the Scriptures that God would want me to know, and so I need these prophetic words that mm-hmm. give me information that I otherwise would not have. There's some experience mm-hmm. described in Scripture that I haven't had.
Acts 2, I mean, just the giving of the Spirit.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Right. Yeah. So I don't want to miss out on that experience, mm-hmm. et cetera. Not even recognizing that when you move through the book of Acts, people are experiencing mm-hmm. the initial baptism of the Spirit in different ways based mm-hmm. upon different groups that are meeting with the message. God did something historically that is no longer the norm at all. Mm-hmm. Now we know from 1 Corinthians, every believer has the Spirit of God at the moment of conversion. Mm-hmm. So not recognizing that God works in different ways at different times. And so wanting to repeat the book of Acts in our day mm-hmm. would be another motivation. So the something more, I need something more. And I want to say to everyone who wants the something more that they need to realize that you have everything in Christ Jesus that you need, that God wants you to have. You don't need something more. If you have Christ, you have it all, the sufficiency of Christ. And then also another element of that, the sufficiency of the Scriptures, mm-hmm. that there's nothing you need to know that God wants you to know that you don't have already in His Word, that now it's complete. As we talked about in the last episode, you know, one of the things going on in the New Testament when you have the foundation of the apostles and the prophets is you have New Testament revelation coming into being. At that time, it was not yet complete. But now we have the once for all delivered unto the saints faith, the New Testament revelation. It is complete. Old Testament complete, New Testament complete. There's nothing more to be given. And so you have an all-sufficient word. The second motivation, however, the desire for something more would be the first. The second, I think, is the belief that some of these gifts would be really effective for evangelism. Mm-hmm. Like the purpose, they think the purpose for these gifts was evangelism, when that really wasn't their purpose ever. But now we want to believe that somehow if a miracle could be performed in the sight of someone, now they would be convinced. Or if a dream could be given to someone, now they would be convinced. Mm-hmm. When the Scriptures are absolutely clear that would not convince. In other words, if the Word of God is not enough to convince someone, mm-hmm. then there is no miracle that could ever be performed that would ever convince them. A couple of things come immediately to mind. The ministry of our Lord here on earth. I mean, you have an explosion of the miraculous, and yet He's crucified. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of the Jewish people at that time reject Him as Messiah. Mm-hmm. So if miracles would convince, those people would have been convinced. We were talking about recently in our study of Matthew, on the very night when our Lord is betrayed and arrested in the garden, He's performing miracles upon the very ones who've come to arrest Him. Mm-hmm. You know, the slave of the high priest, Malchus, his ear is lopped off by Peter. Mm-hmm. Jesus heals his ear right there in the same context in which he's arrested. Mm-hmm. They come and ask if he is who he is, and he says that he is, and they're all bowled over by the power of his words, and yet they go on to arrest him. Mm-hmm. You know, how do people do this? It has to do with the blindness and the stubbornness of sin. But a second text that makes that just unmistakable is our Lord in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, He's giving the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man dies, goes to hell. Lazarus dies, the poor man goes into Abraham's bosom. And in Luke 16, as the rich man is in hell and in agony, he is asking for Lazarus to be sent to his brothers to give witness. Verse 27, Luke 16, and he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, and this is so instructive, "They have Moses and the prophets." What is he saying? They have the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead." Mm-hmm. So, and I think, again, about our Lord's ministry, you have Lazarus, his friend, who is called forth from the tomb, 4 days dead. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew he was dead. Mm-hmm. Lazarus is raised. They didn't believe. Mm-mm. Jesus is raised 3 days later, and they come up with some concocted story about his body being stolen because they refuse to believe. So the idea that you need something more, the New Testament answers that question. You have all things pertaining to life and godliness in the knowledge of Christ. The scriptures are altogether sufficient. You don't need something more. The idea that somehow the miraculous would be useful in evangelism, the scriptures answer that. The Bible is sufficient for evangelism. Sometimes too, Josh, I would say people, I think, fall into this because they feel powerless themselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some struggle with sin going on and they can't overcome it. And they think, "I must be lacking something powerful and miraculous that the Lord wanted me to have, and then I'd be able to overcome this sin issue." Mm-hmm. Once again, just reflect on your Lord for a moment. There he is tempted. No one has ever been tempted to the full extent as Jesus was because he was impeccable. There was nothing to be found in him. He was tested to the full extent. And there's our Lord tested in the wilderness. How does he answer? Scripture. Mm-hmm. Three times. Mm-hmm. He answers with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. There he is in the garden, being arrested, his disciples wanting to fight. "Peter, put your sword away, for how else will the scriptures be fulfilled?" At every point where you find this conflict between sin and righteousness, the answer is the Word of God. So you don't need something more, and you don't need a power display for evangelism, and you don't need something miraculous to overcome your sin issues. You have everything you need in Christ and in the Word of God. So in addition to the New Testament the trajectory of the Scriptures that would point to God dealing in different ways with in different eras, with these specific motivations toward continuationism, the Bible's answer is you already have enough in Christ and in the Word of God.
Yeah, amen. So could you articulate maybe what are some dangers for someone who might embrace a sort of charismatic theology or a continuationist mindset? Or is it just simply, you know, okay, you have yours and I'll have mine, my interpretation, this is your interpretation. If somebody does a full-on embrace of this, are there any dangers that accompany it?
Yeah, you end up refusing the sufficiency that is already yours in Christ and in the Scriptures. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. You end up looking to some other realm for some other answer than what is already yours. What we need to do is fully know and embrace and believe and explore what has been given to us for life and godliness instead of looking outside of that for some other answer. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Second, there's inevitably going to be a lack of discernment.
Okay.
Because if I'm not satisfied with what I am meant to be satisfied with and I'm open to what no longer truly exists or is taking place, then the only expression of that which I'm looking for, which I could possibly embrace, would be a counterfeit. And that's what you have going on. I would explain what's happening that people call miraculous or these sign gifts that I don't think are in operation. What has to be going on can only be explained in one of three ways. One, it's a fleshly expression. Mm-hmm. Right? It's something that I am believing to be true. It's not. It's simply my flesh being satisfied by something that's not real. It's a satanic expression. This is actually a satanic deception that I'm embracing. Or third, it's is purely human and psychological in the sense of some, sort of a learned behavior, which I think takes place in some of these charismatic settings, speaking in tongues, for example. Mm. You know, how to explain this? Well, in some cases, it's learned behavior, something I've witnessed. People have done it, what they call the gift of tongues, and now I follow along in the footsteps of that. I just pick it up. It's down deep knowing it's not supernatural, but I follow in this because there's a pressure that usually accompanies this mm-hmm. as well, that if you're really spiritual, if you're really mm-hmm. walking with the Lord, this is what you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there's this psychological willingness and bent to embrace something to make sure that I am not viewed as deficient or second tier or coming behind others. And so I end up doing things that I know are, deep down I know are not supernatural. And so it's learned behavior.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Straight Truth Podcast. Now, Straight Truth is listener supported. So if you'd like to find out ways how you can help us to continue to produce this podcast, you can go to our website and find out ways to do that, straighttruth.net. At that website, you'll also find links to all of our previous episodes and our social media channels, so be sure to check it out. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.